Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live, live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. So, we had Tony Khan on yesterday. He owns the Jags. His dad owns the Jags, but he is, I don't know exactly what this title is. It's like owner slash chief development strategist, something or another, whatever. He's in the mix over there in Jacksonville, and he was on our show yesterday because he also owns AEW, and he was promoting the Blood and Guts at Bridgestone Arena next month. And I asked him about Calvin Ridley, and he said about Calvin Ridley, hey, we loved Calvin Ridley, but we had to make a decision, and we're really happy with the fact that we were able to acquire Brian Thomas Jr., who they drafted out of LSU in the first round, and they're paying him on a rookie contract, and they were able to trade back, and they were able to get more picks in order to do it. And I said, look, I get what Jacksonville's doing. I get what the Jags were doing. They said, hey, Ridley's going to cost $24 million a season, $23 million a season, whatever it ended up being. And so instead of the $23 million a season, let's pay Calvin Ridley $23 million for the entire duration of that contract. Let's do that. And so I get it. Makes sense. And I think it's the right move. And the Titans, I get the move the Titans made. You can kill the intro music, by the way. But the Titans, I get what the Titans are doing. I understand. The offensive line was so bad, and the tackle class was not good, so the Titans had to draft on the offensive line. Now, I don't think the Titans had to draft the question mark at 38. But the Titans had to draft on the offensive line, and so the Titans did draft on the offensive line, so they signed Ridley after DeNico Autry left so that they could get a receiver for the quarterback that can run. Makes sense to me. And somebody texted me, and they said, I love how you take the word at face value of everybody outside of the Titans, but never take the word at face value of the people inside the Titans. The Jags made the same offer to the Titans, supposedly, and they clearly wanted Ridley back. And they ended up picking a wide receiver in the draft because they had to replace him because Ridley decided to come here. And I started thinking about it. Again, I believe in being fair. I know a lot of you think that that's not true. But I do believe in being fair. Now, Albert Breer reported, and I thought it was $19 million is what Jacksonville offered. Supposedly, it might have been $20 million. I thought it was $19. That Jacksonville offered $19 million a season. The Titans ended up paying Ridley $23. To me, that's simple math, right? $5 million extra per season for 4 years is $20 million. That's not a hard decision to make. They're offering me $20 million extra? Okay, I'll take that. I believe that if Jacksonville, and maybe I'm wrong about this, I believe if Jacksonville had offered $23 million a year for Calvin Ridley, Calvin Ridley would still be a Jacksonville Jaguar. And if Jacksonville wanted Calvin Ridley that bad, they would have signed him to a contract when they had his rights before free agency opened, and they would have switched the third-round pick that they gave to the Falcons, which would have become a second-round pick, which is why they didn't extend Ridley before free agency opened. They had to wait until the start of the new league year to sign Ridley to a deal. That's what I believe. But Ian, it is a fair question. Am I wrong for believing Tony Khan what he tells us, but not necessarily believing the Titans?
Well, I mean, both people are trying to, you know, CYA a little bit.
Here's why I don't believe the Titans. Because what Tony Khan said is believable. We liked Calvin Ridley. We loved him in the building. He's a great player. But we had to make a decision. We love Brian Thomas Jr., who we drafted. That makes sense. Saying, hey, there's a walk-away price. We've got to, you know, we're going to offer you $19 or $20 million a year. We're not going to offer you $30 million a year. It's like the executive in The Athletic told Mike Sando after free agency, quote, there is a walk-away point on some of these deals, and paying high-dollar numbers to a 29-year-old receiver now on his third team in 3 years amounts to bad business. Jacksonville had a walk-away number, And they knew it because, hey, we'll just go get somebody in the draft. I believe that. Here's what I don't believe. Ran on Bussin' with the Boys, Ian, if we have it, when asked about Calvin Ridley, was talking about why Calvin Ridley chose to sign with the Titans.
I'll be perfectly honest with you. Everything was comparable. Mm-hmm. You know, and he had the option to go back. Whether the number was, I'm good. Appreciate the offer though, being hospitable, I got you. Southern hospitality. He had the option to go wherever he wanted to go, but I think it's more of a positive in that we made him comfortable, mm-hmm. you know, coming here. And then the lesser known of the deal was, again, here, Nashville, Tennessee. His wife's family's from Huntsville.
I don't know that.
Right down the road, you know, makes it an easy transition for her to still be. Now you're closer mm-hmm. to your family, you know, yeah. And so it. Again, competitive advantage being here in Nashville.
I just don't believe that. Like, I believe that it was the $20 million extra. Again, the way I read it was Breer said $19 million. Let's say he said $20 million, and the Titans offered $23 million. So that's $3 million a season. That's $12 million extra dollars. I don't believe, oh, we made him feel comfortable. Oh, his wife's from Huntsville. I mean, I'm sure those are good things, but... It's not like, oh, yeah, this is exactly perfect, and this is why I just felt the Titans were so much better than me. If he had taken $18 million to come to the Titans when they were offering him $19 million, then I might believe you. But I have a hard time believing that. But I do think it is fair that I am way more skeptical of the Titans than I am of other people when they say things. And maybe I should be more skeptical of Tony Khan when it comes to what he said about the Jags. I mean, I was a little skeptical about just how great Trevor Lawrence was yesterday. I think the reason they signed Trevor Lawrence to the contract was because that was the way to get it done before they went to the Metro Council and asked him for all the money for the stadium that they just got yesterday, $1.4 billion. But maybe I should be more skeptical. But there's no way that I can listen to like that cut and say, oh, yes, that's why he picked the Titans, because his wife is from Huntsville, not because they offered him a crap load of money. One texter to the text line, our phone line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jared, you don't know who's footing the bill for Will Levis's Cabo trip, so why are we even talking about this? I think he said, I'm taking him out to Cabo. I think I'm taking him out to Cabo. Another texter says, when have the Titans given us a thought that we could take them at their word? See, that's the other thing. Rand said a lot of things over the last year and a half that he's been the general manager that just don't seem to add up. Right? Like the Mike Vrabel, my daughter has a picture of Mike Vrabel on her cell phone as her background. And that's why my family was so mad that we fired Mike Vrabel, kind of like, what? What? Or all the GMs that texted him after the Skoronski pick and the Dowell pick and the Sweat pick. It's like every time he gets in front of a microphone, he says something that's like, wait a minute. When he told Will Compton that they had an inkling that Michael Penix was going to go at 8 to the Falcons, did anybody in America have an inkling that Michael Penix was going at 8? By the way, after the Falcons made that pick, I listened to NFL radio on Sirius. Rick Spielman was ripping them. Mark Dominic was ripping them. And I know those guys aren't still general managers in the league, but those guys are smart dudes. And they're just ripping them left and right. And then, you know, Sando talks to all those executives in the NFL, and they're ripping the Falcons. But Rand knew they were going to take them? Hard for me to believe some of that. And then again, it's the Titans. They told Diana Russini, Vrabel's not going anywhere. And then what'd they do? Fired Vrabel. Jason in Dover says, why don't you be fair and tell Tony Khan it was stupid to pay Trevor Lawrence or brought up the fumble that was a forward pass that gave the Jags a playoff berth? Well, we talked about that game last year at the Super Bowl. On the Lawrence front, I told you. I told him. I said, people are trying to wonder, you guys spent all that money. My theory is they think he's Joe Burrow. And then he basically said that that was the case. Josh says, I mean, the Titans have been so truthful and transparent over the years, I don't know why you wouldn't trust them. That's Josh from White House. Jason says, you can't trust any of these guys. You should always be skeptical. I think I do a pretty good job of being skeptical. You know, okay, there is one thing that I am having, like, I believe. And if I'm wrong about this, then I will say that they got me. I will say that. And it does transition to what I want to talk to, so we'll do that next. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Stillman & Company, by the way, be sure to join the Nashville Predators for the 2024 NHL Draft Watch Party at Draft Picks Restaurant and Bar inside of the Ford Ice Center Bellevue this Friday starting at 6 o'clock. Celebrate the newest members of Smashville while enjoying food and drink specials, door prizes, games hosted by Wayne D., and live broadcast from Max Herz. More details at nationalpredators.com/draft. So Ian, Keith in Bowling Green says that he is skeptical of my skepticism.
Okay.
When again, the one texter says I need to be skeptical of everybody. Somebody else says I'm not skeptical of other people, but I'm too skeptical of the Titans. And then Keith says he's skeptical of my skepticism. Well, let me just say this. I was right about the Mike Vrabel thing. I was the one guy. Paul Kaharsky can bitch about me all he wants. He was carrying Vrabel's dishes, and he thought Vrabel was coming back. I was the one that's like, this is for cocked. This is not right. This is screwed up. And remember, TD went over there, and he sat down with Vrabel and Rand Carthon. And TD said, unless these guys are lying to my face, then everything is hunky-dory. And I'm not saying that TD was wrong, because a reporter's job is to report, and that's what he was being told. But it didn't add up. And I got yelled at by Teresa Walker in the press room about, you know, Vrabel not getting fired and all. But I was right. And that was because I was skeptical. Speaking of skepticism, maybe I will look like a dope. Maybe I will feel like a dope. But I actually believe Barry Trotz. Barry Trotz came on our show the other day, and I asked him about the Soros deal. Now, he sat down with the media after the season was over, and he told the media he'd like to get a deal done with Soros, and Soros liked to get a deal done here. Then I talked to him after they traded Ryan McDonough, and he said, you know, hey, I'd like to do a deal, but, you know, he's going to do what's in the best interest of the Predators. And I felt like that was a little bit of a walk back. And then all the Elliots of the world and everybody else say, well, it looks like Nashville's going to keep UC Soros. And I'm like, but are they? The little bit of skepticism. Barry was on our show again this week, and I asked him once again about Soros. And I think Barry made it pretty clear. Clear's the right word. I'm not saying he said he's going to sign Soros. He didn't say that. But I think he implied it. As far as your own guy, UC Soros, we've probably talked about the Soros deal a couple times now. Are there lines in the sand when you guys approach Soros' camp, whether it's trade protection or length or whatever it may be, that you guys, just as much as you want to get a Soros deal done, you're not necessarily willing to cross? Or is this a we're going to find a way to get this deal done kind of situation?
I think it's one of those, Juice knows what I think of him. I know his agent knows what I think of him. I've had very good dealings with his agent to this point. So I don't think there's necessarily need to be a point where you're going to draw a line in the sand. I think we're going to try to find a nice common ground where it's a win-win for both. And to this point, I see no reason to draw a line in the sand, and I'm sure they don't as well.
Okay. I have now talked to Barry Trotz multiple times. You've heard those conversations. I have now talked to him multiple times since the end of the season, and I am convinced that they're going to re-sign UC Soros. And I don't think they're going to re-sign him on July 1, but it wouldn't surprise me if they sign him on July 2. I think they're going to re-sign UC Soros. And maybe, again, we talk about skepticism, and the one guy said in the text line, be skeptical of everybody. Because in these sports, football, hockey, basketball, baseball, college baseball, the a-hole coach over at A&M, you see that? He got up there and called that reporter selfish for asking him if he was going to leave to take the Texas job. And then what did that guy go do? He took the Texas job. They all lie at times. And trust me, it wouldn't surprise me. Like TD said, you know, hey, if these guys are lying to my face, it would not surprise me if Barry Trotz was lying to my face last year at the trade deadline when he said, if I don't get a deal done with Tommy Novak, I'm going to trade him. That could have been a total bluff. And I would not have felt bad, or I would not have thought it wrong of Barry to say that to me and then do the opposite. I would not have sat there and said, oh, Barry Trotz is dishonest. To me, that's business. Dishonest is lying about something after the fact. This, you know, that's poker. That's business. That's the game. Maybe Barry's not telling the truth. I don't know. But I am convinced that they're not trading Soros. So when I see, you know, Dave Pagnotta, who I do not think has good sourcing, Elliot has good sourcing, Pierre LeBrun has good sourcing, Chris Johnston has good sourcing, Darren Drager, though, Ian, I don't know if you've noticed this, Darren Drager hasn't really been...
No, not as much breaking news lately.
But he's got good sources. Frank Saravalli, Daily Faceoff, he's got good sources. Those guys break the real news. Pagnotta doesn't break anything, but he, you know, says he has rumors. He gossips, and so they put him on TV and radio, and I'm not against it because we like the gossip. But I see Pagnotta putting out there, you know, well, if the Predators, you know, sources say they might trade Soros, I don't think so. I do not think so. I think it is a done deal. I think they are going to sign him to an extension. Now, the Askarov thing that comes with that, Barry said on the show that they brought Mitch Korn back in, the old goaltending coach when Pekka was here, that they brought him in to be the organization's goaltending coach. Now, the guy who's still doing it, he's going to stay with the team, but Mitch Korn's going to oversee the whole thing. Barry said they did that for Askarov. I really don't believe in Willie Donick's utopia that the Predators sign Soros to a long-term extension, and then they sit Askarov as the backup for 3 years, and then they turn it over to Askarov. I don't believe that that's a realistic possibility. But I'm just looking at the one thing, which is the Soros point, before we even get to Askarov. I'm going to take Barry at his word. I think he's telling the truth. I think they're going to sign him. And I may not agree with it. You may not agree with it. I don't know. But I do think that this is what's going to happen. And while I am naturally skeptical, I'm really not skeptical of that. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. Okay, let's operate under that assumption that the Predators do re-sign UC Soros. Then how do they get some of these big players? We'll get to that next. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. There are some big names that are on the trade market. There are some rumors that you guys are in some of those big names. Would you say that there's some accuracy to that?
Yeah, I think so. I think, and it's that some of it is by default. A lot of the top players in the league sort of look for destinations where they feel that they can check a few boxes. One, are they a good organization? Two, are they in a good city? Three, are they, have the ability to win, be it through the players or through draft capital and all those type of things. So we check a lot of the boxes. And do they have any salary cap flexibility? So I think we've checked a lot of those boxes. So we'll be rumored for a lot of things. I mean, earlier, as you know, we were rumored for, I think it was a prominent player in Toronto, and that was just people trying to connect dots. But those type of things are going to be out there.
That was Barry Trotz on the program earlier this week saying they are in the mix for the big names. You know what's funny about Barry? And I love that man, but he'll talk, what would you say, Ian, a minute 45 for each answer, 2 minutes, 3 minutes for an answer on Barry Trotz?
It depends. Anywhere from a minute to 3 minutes.
probably about right. Barry will talk and talk and talk. But with a lot of these questions, I mean, I really only just need like the first three words. Play that cut again. Listen to my question. Again, I'm asking, are you in on the big names? And listen to what Barry says. There are some big names that are on the trade market. There are some rumors that you guys are in some of those big names. Would you say that there's some accuracy to that?
Yeah, I think so. I think, and it's some of it is by default.
Okay.
A lot of the...
That's it. Just right there. Yeah, I think so. That's accurate. Okay. So they're in on some of the big names. Now, he says some of that is by default. I think he's talking about the rumors, saying that the rumors are by default because people are adding up two and two, and they're saying, okay, you know, Nashville needs more firepower, and they need younger guys, and a Martin Natchez is a younger guy at Carolina, so that could be a move that they... But when he says there's some accuracy to it, that means they're in on some of the big names. Now, as we learned with the Shea Weber, Hall of Famer Shea Weber, I guess. Now, when we go back to the Shea Weber PK Subban deal, some of these trades happen and you don't even see them coming. Where it happens and it's like, guffaw. Like, what just happened? So Barry says they're in on the big names. Right now, Natchez and Marner are probably the two big names everybody knows. Zegrist in Anaheim is another name Adam Vingan threw out yesterday, which I do think has some merit. I think Barry would hate Trevor Zegrist of what I know about Trevor Zegrist. And then I'm sure there are some other guys that are out there. You know, the Canadian press is basically saying, maybe Leon Draisaitl stays, maybe Leon Draisaitl wants to go. That's a different discussion. But I'm not exactly sure how the Predators make a trade for one of those guys, a Marner, a Natchez, even a Zegrist. I don't know how they make that kind of trade. Maybe Zegrist they could. But Carolina's trying to win the cup. So they're not going to want a bunch of second-round picks in exchange for Martin Natchez. They're going to want people that are ready in the NHL right now. If Soros is part of the discussion, then it makes sense. And we use Toronto as an example here, right? Toronto just re-signed or is going to re-sign Joseph Woll, who was their backup goalie last year. But he's not a true bona fide ace like Soros is. And they've got all the firepower in the world. And Toronto said that they're willing to break up the core four. And so I could see a deal worked around Soros and Marner. But if you don't include UC Soros in a trade, I'm not sure that there's really a package you could put together that Toronto would want. If you don't include UC Soros in a trade, I'm not exactly sure. What could you give the Carolina Hurricanes that they would say, okay, that is worthy of a Martin Natchez? And again, Natchez is one of those players who I really like, who's young, who's going to get a new deal, who there are no red flags on, but he's not a superstar either. And so it's hard for me to say, okay, just sell the farm for this guy in the hopes that at 25 years old, he becomes this great superstar. Last year for Natchez, he had 24 goals and 53 points overall. Not bad. The one answer that I can come up with is Evangelista. That's the one guy that I'm like, if you were to call Toronto, and you were to say, we're interested in Mitch Marner, which, again, I'm not sure they are. And with Marner, you'd have to get him to waive his no move, and you'd probably want to sign him to an extension. They'd want Evangelista at the top of that package. And that still may not be enough. A team like Anaheim might be a little different because they are still technically rebuilding, so maybe they'll take more picks or they'll take younger prospects. But even in Anaheim, they've been rebuilding for 6 years. At some point, they're like, no, we want NHL guys in return. You don't have those guys on your team, except for Evangelista. Everybody would love, in a deal, Josi or Forsberg, but you're not going to trade them, and they have no moves. So they're out. Soros, to teams that need goaltending, would be a premium asset. But again, I'm convinced they're not going to trade him. Barry Trotz is going to re-sign him. So he's out. Other than that, O'Reilly's old. Nyquist is average. there's not somebody that, again, Gus Nyquist was a solid player, and at the trade deadline, I could see somebody wanting to deal a second-round pick for him the way that Winnipeg traded a second-round pick to you for Nino Niederreiter. But they're not going to build a package for Martin Natchez or Mitch Marner or whomever. They're not going to build a package around Gus Nyquist. And I don't think that they're going to accept Reed Schaefer and a couple of picks. So if it's not Saros, that I don't know exactly how they do get those kind of names. Oh, apparently Nick Kieser just sent this to me, Ian.
Okay.
This is from Pierre LeBron.
Yeah, he has his latest piece out here about the he's been talking to the GM of Carolina, Pierre has, about the Natchez trade and how that could go down.
So Kieser just sent me a little nugget from the story saying, quote, one team, and how long ago did this post?
Like 17 minutes.
Okay. One team to keep an eye on if Shea and or, and this is Brady Shea or Brent Pesce go to the market, are the Nashville Predators. They need to replace Ryan McDonagh, and I believe they would inquire and try to sign one of those two Carolina D if they go to market. Barry said on the show, and I have my notes here in front of me, Barry said on the show on Monday that they have a hole on the back end to fill when I asked about how active they should be in free agency.
Mm-hmm.
And so that adds up.
And as far as the Natchez deal goes, one other league source or other league sources tell Pierre LeBrun that there is Pierre LeBrun.
Thank you.
That other there is one team in particular that is pretty close with Carolina on the framework of a deal, and if that trade does go through, it would involve a first round pick Friday night. So if that particular team decides to go ahead with Carolina, we will know within 48 hours. So he doesn't mention anything about the Preds in particular on Natchez. The other note about the Preds in this article is the Predators also want to find some offensive pop-up front. I believe they have interest in the likes of Steven Stamkos and Chandler Stephenson if those pending UFAs hit the market, among several other forward targets.
Okay, so I don't think Stamkos is hitting the market. I think Stamkos is going to resign in Tampa Bay. So I have just, in my head, I have taken Stamkos off the board. Maybe that's wrong. Maybe I should put Stamkos back on the board. I have taken Stamkos off the board, especially when the Predators traded Ryan McDonagh back to Tampa Bay, and there was a report that came out that said Steven Stamkos was looped in on the mix when that was going down, and he was happy about it. So I think Stamkos is going back to Tampa Bay. I think they're going to try to run it back. So maybe I'm wrong about this, but take him out of it. Chandler Stephenson, I believe, is a second-line center in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe he played for Barry Trotz in Washington, if I am not mistaken. The only reason I know this guy exists is because Willie brought him up, or somebody brought him up, or somebody wrote a story about him. It was, I can't remember. But they brought him up as like a guy that Vegas absolutely cannot pay him and bring him back, because Vegas is like still over the cap. And apparently they're trying to go get more players, which I'm sure somebody will slice their hand with a knife and they'll put them on long-term injured reserve and they'll save that money and then bring them all back for the playoffs. But as far as the Stephenson thing, he does not pass the Jared Stillman smell test. And Ian, what is the Jared Stillman smell test?
You've heard of him.
I've never heard of this guy. So you can tell me he's good, but I've never heard of him. And as I learned with Mikhail Granlin, if I don't know who you are, you're probably not very good. That's how I operate. Because the guys the Predators have traded for that I knew who they were, I got excited about PK Subban. I got excited about Ryan McDonagh. I got excited about Ryan O'Reilly. I know who those guys are, and those guys end up being good players. I knew who James Neal was because I covered the Bruins in 2013, and James Neal was on that Pittsburgh team. They played in the Eastern Conference Final, and I believe James Neal scored 40. So I knew who that was. If I don't know who you are, I'm not interested. And so this Chandler Stephenson guy, I don't know who he is, so that means he's probably not very good. When the Predators traded for Mikhail Granlin, I didn't know who that guy was. In fact, I remember telling Ryan Poarth, I'm like, I've never heard of this guy before, but the guy that I like on Minnesota is Jason Zucker. Now, Zucker ended up going to Pittsburgh at that point, but as we know, Zucker's a solid player. But they acquired Granlund, and Porth was like, no, 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 he's good. I promise, he's good. Granlund sucked, and I'm glad he's gone. So, except that one caller that called in said they should give up a first-round pick last year for Granlund. But again, if I don't know who you are, I'm not interested. So forget about Chandler Stephenson. If you're telling me, now they can sign guys I don't know, and they can get in there, and I'm not going to go crazy about it. Like, I didn't really know anything about Luke Shen, and whatever. But you can't sign a guy that I've never heard of and be like, all right, we've got a core piece. No. Can't do that. Yeah. I do think the Predators could be a team that's trading a first-round pick Friday night for Martin Natchez.
Could be. It says on the Natchez trade, a little side note, that there are there seems to be frustration from other teams involved in talks with Carolina over the high asking price, which has led to some clubs chatting internally about the possibility of an offer sheet. But
nobody does those anymore.
Yeah, and the GM of Carolina says, I don't see how an offer sheet makes any sense for the player. If he wants to leave, he's giving us more control that way. He's lowering the return to where we wouldn't let him go.
Yeah, so. I don't think the offer sheet is a... I think restricted free agency in both hockey and in football are like... I mean, I don't say they're collusion because they're baked into the CBA, but it's basically a franchise tag. It's like, we have your rights. We do whatever we want. And if you don't want to sign, well, we'll figure something out, but we still have an advantage here. Whereas unrestricted free agency is, if you don't get that guy back, you're screwed. Sorry about it. Is what it is. 615-737-1025. Let's get to your phones on this. 615-737-1025 here on Stillman and Company. There was one other thing Barry said on the show that did kind of stick out to me. It wasn't a huge revealing detail, like them being in on the big names, them re-signing Soros, the trade protection. It wasn't one of those. But I did find it at least a little bit fascinating. We'll touch on that. Stillman & Company, 1025-1063, The Game. Let's talk Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Hiller, they are proud supporters of the Nashville Predators. And so let's face it when it comes to Hiller. Things often aren't as simple as they should be when it comes to your home. And this summer, Hiller is making summer simple. With real-time technician tracking, you'll know exactly when they are on the way, and you can trust that you have the best and brightest techs in your home fixing your problems on their first trip out. From now until June 30th, enjoy a free service call with work performed to take $25 off any plumbing or electrical repair. Visit happyhiller.com for details. That's Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Proud supporters, the Preds, the Vols, and Vandy. Hiller, call the Happy Face Truck today.
As you know, I always like to check around to see what Nashville's up to before I come on. And I had one manager who kind of laughed yesterday and said, I think Barry's going to try to keep you very busy. So I think he's got a lot okay. of irons in the fire. And I think he's looking at a few different things. And, you know, I think both potential, whether it's free agency or trade, I think Barry is active out there.
Okay, there you go. That was Elliot. Talking about, hey, Barry's got a lot of irons in the fire. And that would track with what Pierre LeBrun just said at The Athletic, which is they could be in on Brady Shea. They could be on Brent Pesce. They could be on Chandler Stephenson. They could be in on Steven Stamkos. Those are a lot of irons in the fire.
Maybe Natchez.
Did he write that they could be in on Natchez?
Not specifically. He just mentioned that a lot of teams have been, you know, poking around.
So here's what I would say.
He mentioned Buffalo.
Buffalo.
As someone with high interest.
How do you think Buffalo feels about watching the Florida Panthers win the Cup with half their team?
Yeah, Sabre's going to Sabre, I guess.
I mean, that's poor Phil Housley. Anywho, so there was one thing Barry said on the show the other day, because the one thing that did stick out is that, as Ian said in Pierre's piece, he wrote that there's a team that has the framework of a Natchez deal, which would involve a first-round pick on Friday night. It would make sense for the Predators. I mean, the Predators have two first-round picks in next year's draft. They've got, I guess, now four second-round picks over the next two drafts as opposed to five, because they traded one for a defense prospect with Detroit the other day. But Barry said on the show on Monday that they've been making calls trying to move up in the draft. Now, I asked Barry, there was a mock draft I saw that had the Predators taking a guy who is has like a low ceiling, but he's got a high floor. You know, one of those. He's probably not going to be more than a third liner, but he's definitely going to make it to the NHL. He's not a boomer bust. And I'm like, that's the opposite of what Barry has been preaching to the scouts. Because Barry told us, he said, I've told the scouts, I can go find third liners. But when it comes to getting those big boys that can play, I mean, I want some good players. And he even said there are core players. I wrote this down on my notes. There are always core players every draft. When he was talking about the end of the first and the second and the, you know, Sebastian Aho's and the Jason Robertsons and those kind of players. Braden Point. And there is some truth to that. Yeah, you're not going to get Sidney Crosby. Got it. But they can still get some good players that can be impact players and not just third pair defensemen. But then he goes out and he trades a second round pick for a guy who's 19 years old, who is a prospect, you know, who is a prospect with Detroit. And then I go and I look up his breakdown Gibson. On The Athletic, and they said that he is like, he profiles to be a third pair defenseman in the NHL. I'm like, that's not the big swings Barry Trotz talking about. But I do think that it's worth noting that Barry said they're trying to move up. So if Barry says they're trying to move up, that would make it seem like maybe they're not the team working a deal for Natchez and using a first-round pick. One texter says, LOL, you do know who Mikhail Granlin is now, and don't forget, the Predators are a Granlin away from the Cup. We did have a caller Scott, who likes to call in and argue with me all the time. Scott called in around the trade deadline, called the midday show, and he said that they needed to trade a first-round pick for Mikhail Granlin. And Willie, like, entertained the idea. I texted Caroline when this guy, and I'm not going to call him a bozo because I do like Scott, but that was a very bozo-ish take, but I texted Caroline, and I said, I go, a first-round pick for Granlin? I was like, and Willie is humoring this call. I was like, slice him up. This is crazy. And so then we talked about it, and then the caller decided to call in to defend himself, and it honestly sounded even worse. James says, Askarov would be a pretty nice piece, but I don't want to move him. Yeah, I mean, if you sign Soros, then what are you going to do? You're not going to have two goalies. Barry even said that on the show on Monday when he said, you know, I've been talking to some general managers, and I've said, hey, you can have 12 forwards and 6 defensemen, but you can only have one goalie. Barry told us after the McDonough trade, I said 4 years down the road when projecting this out, because if you give Soros a deal, it's going to be a 5 or a 6 year deal. It's going to be a 7 or an 8 year deal. So projecting 4 years from now, what are you going to do? Are you going to be able to have both goalies? And he said, no, at some point you're going to have to pick one or the other. So if you give Soros the big deal and you give Soros the trade protection, well, then you probably at some point have to turn around and trade the other guy. One texter said something that I felt was kind of hating. Michael in Clarksville says the Preds will never win the Cup with Trotz or Soros in net. I tend to agree the second part. But it's not so much about Soros as much as it is about the fact that I don't really... And I know Bobrovsky just won the Cup at $10 million, and they got plenty of good players. I just don't really think you should pay goalies, because I think goalies are so volatile. And if you got a really, 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 really good goalie, he should steal you some games that lead to you winning some of these series. And UC Soros hadn't done that. And so I would go the other direction. But they're going to go the opposite direction. But I'm not giving up on Trotz, because I am a Trotz guy. Because I think Trotz is a straight shooter. And I think, again, the moves he's made, O'Reilly worked out. Nyquist worked out better than anybody could have imagined. The trades, Zucker was a good trade. You know, they basically took on the money, but they didn't give up any real draft capital in order to get him. And he was probably one of their best skaters in the playoffs. By the way, I do love Trotz came on the show. I asked him about Zucker and Sherwood. And he said, yeah, we're in agreement with those guys. They probably want a little too much money. I was like, oh, so that's the agreement they're in. 615-737-1025. Okay, so I was out last week, and I haven't gotten around to this because we had Game 7 of the Cup Final. We had the Vols winning the national championship the last couple of days. But there was – this is honestly the – Ian, would you – you don't have to co-sign on this.
Okay.
But would you co-sign that this is probably one of the stupidest things you've ever heard?
The 4 o'clock segment?
Yes.
I mean, I don't know about stupidest, but it seems a bit extreme.
It's one of the stupidest things I've heard in a long time. And it's about one of your favorite topics. We'll get to that next. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.